Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us here at Riders Meeting. I'm your host, David Pingree, joined by Bruce Murata, as always. And today, our special guest is very special. Former world champion, national champion, two-time 250 Supercross champion here in the States. It's the Zulu Warrior, Mr. Grant Langston. Gio, thanks for jumping on, buddy.
Yeah, of course. No problem. Good to be back. Good to see you guys and talk some racing.
Yep.
Well, it was... I watched the track and I thought, man, it's way better than I thought. I thought it was going to be drizzly, you know, typical Seattle weather. And it actually, the track was better than I thought, but that doesn't mean it was good. Bruce, you were saying RJ texted you a picture of the track after the main events, and it's just TV doesn't do it justice. You can
know
if you know, like it was a disaster. There was pictures Jeff sent us some of that tight rut. That left where they came across the start again, and that was down to plywood. You didn't see that on TV, but you know, those little things and how deep the ruts were, and those guys happened to triple and pick their way through stuff. Man, so sketchy.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. What was your take on the track?
Well, like you said, Seattle, unfortunately this time of year, there's a good chance it's going to be a mudder. I can remember 2006, the championship came down, but basically me and Andrew Short and the final race of the West Coast 250 Supercross Championship was Seattle, and it was pouring rain all day. And I remember it was pretty stressful, and because mud is not my specialty. And the only comforting thing was Andrew Short was also not good in the mud. So I knew it was going to be a battle of survival. What I did notice about the Seattle dirt compared to some of the other places is it's not like that clay where it just gets super sticky and pulls you everywhere. It's got a lot of like, it almost reminds me a little bit of like road base where it's got a lot of gravel in it. So, I heard Ricky mentioning several times at the beginning of the show that, you know, it's a muddy track, but these guys are riding at like dry pace, and it kind of resonated because I'm like, yeah, it makes sense. It's messy, but the lines move. Don't get me wrong, it's still very sketchy, but I could at least speak for me saying I prefer that type of mud than if we were, say, riding in Georgia clay and it was pouring rain or something like that. So that being said, the guys were still doing a lot of the jumps, doing a lot of the obstacles, pushing really hard, and you know, mistakes happened, but it made for some great racing, in my opinion.
Yeah, it sure did. And before we jump into it, I want to thank our sponsors. Of course, Maxxis Tires. If you guys need any kind of light truck tires, they've got a complete line. Check them out at Maxxis.com. Rock and Turf, great artificial turf. They do hardscape. If you guys need any kind of work done in your yard or mats they're selling now, really cool mats for outside your rig or to change on. Check out Rock and Turf on Instagram. And also speedstrap.com. These guys are making a bunch of really cool products, tie downs, toe straps, and more to come. So stoked to have them on board, speedstrap.com. Well, let's jump into the heat races right away. And man, you know, kind of the thing that stood out for me in the TVT heats was Joe Shimoda. Like, I felt like, all right, he's finally got it figured out. They went to work in this break and he's got it sorted. And then, man, he has a mistake and crashes right at the last lap. I'm like, this poor kid. He just can't figure it out, man. It's Supercross. He really struggles to get it going.
Yeah, I on that one, you know, I've been trying to figure it out too. And when he went to Pro Circuit, I think a lot of people were shocked that Mitch hired this fifth guy that people weren't really that familiar with or didn't have all the credentials. I personally thought it was maybe something to do with keeping the relationship good with Kawasaki. And he did very well. He really impressed me. And I think he impressed a lot of people. And I think coming in this year, a lot of people were thinking, all right, you know, he's made all the progression. He's now at factory Honda. Everything on paper was correct, but he just hasn't, to me, looked quite the same, you know? And again, I always often say to people, I'm not saying it's because the Honda is not as good as the Kawasaki. I think when you switch, you're dealing with new people. Trying, you know, there's got to be some form of language barrier at times when you're trying to discuss what you're doing, what needs changing. So again, Factory Honda, I think, have a lot of great personnel. I think they have good equipment, obviously. But when I watch him, he hasn't looked to me like he's polished yet. It looks like they're still, even when he was running up front, he clipped a lot of jumps. It looked to me like the front end was getting pulled in the ruts, like he would, the minute the suspension offloaded, he was often moving like two or three ruts to the left or to the right. So to me, it looked like, yeah, the speed was there, but it didn't look comfortable. So again, yeah, it was a mud race. But I think for Joe, unfortunately, there's been several of those on the West Coast. But even in the dry, he's made mistakes. So I think it's a combination of getting used to the new team. But I also feel like when you watch him, he's riding like the pressure to go and win. Like even at opening round at Anaheim, the heat race, kind of try to slide underneath someone. It seemed a little desperate for that early in the heat race. Mm-hmm. So to me, I feel like the pressure's there. I'm a Factory Honda rider. He's a Japanese rider. So that, you know, there's a lot of probably internal pressure, not necessarily from the team or anyone else, but for him, because he believes he can win, he's kind of expected to win. And I just, to me, it looks like a frustrating start to the season. Hopefully he can just kind of erase that, not worry about points, focus on getting a little bit more comfortable with the team and the bike. And then I think you'll start seeing that old Joe Shimoda again.
Bruce, another big surprise we had this weekend, which I didn't know. I knew he had signed with Star, but I didn't know he was coming back this weekend. Michael Moseman with Star Yamaha.
Yeah.
That was a surprise. What else did you see? You know, not just that, but anything else in the heat races you picked up on?
I mean, just for heat one, I mean, Levi Kitchen, I mean, winning by 8 seconds. I think that right there was just like, going to tell you that's how the whole night was going to go, which it did. Gosh, he just was impressive. Yeah. Very impressive last night. But yeah, as far as the 250 heats, you know, I think, Shimoda unfortunately goes down in that second heat, you know, Smith winning the, that heat, but yeah, as far as the 250s, nothing too crazy that stood out to me.
Well, let's jump right into that Speedstraps 250 main event then. And man, you talked about Levi Kitchen being impressive. And to me, it's been a really tight battle. He's always been kind of the consistent one, but maybe a little more speed out of RJ and Smith at times. And you think, ah, they've got the experience. They should. They'll probably be the ones that are in this in the long haul, but Levi's got to prove himself. And man, he sure did last night, man. Just start to finish pretty flawless, even though he said he was making mistakes all over. No, it didn't look like it.
Yeah, and I know we talked about that last week, Ping, where it's like a home track, sometimes it can be in people's favors, or sometimes it can almost affect them because they have so many family and friends there. There's a lot of distractions. But, man, last night, I mean, winning by over 20 seconds, that was incredible.
Yeah, it really was. And RJ put on a great ride from not a perfect start, not terrible, but not ideal. Got himself up in the second, so he only lost a few points. But the big change was with Smith. He had a big one, and I don't want to say put himself out of this hunt, but, man, he really – it cost him a lot in the points.
Well, and I want to actually get GL's opinion on that one, because that was very interesting. You know, so Smith goes down, and he gets back up. He gets like, it's almost like he was like trying to race in front of, in front of Levi Kitchen when he was down a lap. I don't know, that to me was just kind of odd. And it looked like he was really dazed because he was making so many mistakes after that. And he ended up actually going down twice after that.
Yeah. My take was, if you watched him come up short on that jump, he smacked his face on the grass mm-hmm. ball pretty hard. And
yeah,
I think it dazed him. That's what I think. I think it rang his bell.
But I mean,
what do you think, Gio?
Yeah,
I didn't. To be honest, I guess I didn't focus as much on him as maybe you guys did. But I guess when I saw him on camera, I kind of assumed maybe his bars were twisted or something because of what Bruce was saying. You know, the mistakes. And again, you know, Kitchen won by a mile, and he was saying he made mistakes. It's like, yeah, well, it's a mud race. Everyone is making mistakes. There's a difference between the ones that you know, don't really hold you back. Because let's be honest, if you don't do as many of the obstacles, you'll make less mistakes, right? You're probably going to lap down. So you have to take calculated risks. He did that well. But yeah, it was a little strange just to see Jordan Smith back there. And then now that you guys mentioned it, you might be onto something. I guess I'd have to go watch it back.
Well, yeah. the other component you got to remember is, you know, maybe he hits his head a little bit, maybe he doesn't. He keeps crashing. He's watching his championship hopes slip away.
Yeah.
And this is, let's all be real, this is probably, could be his last shot at it. And I've been in those shoes, and it is a maddening scenario. And you kind of start to go a little crazy because there's nothing you can do to stop it. You know, you're a lap down. What are you going to do, man? Like, So I feel for him a little bit. Run us through the rest of the results there, Bruce, and we'll chat a little bit about how they finished.
All right. So Levi Kitchen taking the win. RJ Hampshire second. Joe Shimoda third. Garrett Marchbanks fourth. Carson Mumford fifth. Michael Mosman sixth. Julian Bomer seventh. Anthony Bourdon eighth. Nate Thrasher ninth. And then Cole Thompson running up that top 10. I do have a highlight, though, that I wanted to bring up as well to you guys for the 250 main is after Shimoda going down, man, he really worked his way up well to that third spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was picking guys off quick. So I thought that was pretty impressive.
That was still the best. Even though there was mistakes, it wasn't perfect. I think it's the best I've seen Shimoda riding Supercross this season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's almost like, again, it's almost like the pressure was off. He wasn't thinking about the championship. He was just thinking about getting at the front and riding. You know how it is, guys. We've all had that. You go down and you ride, as I say, kind of pissed off, you know. And you don't really think about all the consequences. And you actually look back and you go, wow, I wish I could ride like that more often. But I don't want to have crashes or come from behind to do it. You know, I'd love to do that from out front.
Yeah, another reason why that's a highlight is like what Gio was saying earlier, where he really did not look comfortable. Like in that heat, I mean, he was all over the place, and it looks like he just been fighting that bike everywhere. So after I saw that crash in the main, I'm like, oh, he's done. And all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a second, he's like picking guys off left and right. So it just kind of was.
Hey, think about was it Dallas? When Eli made his little mistake in the turn, fell over, and then put on that charge where he was way faster than everyone. And you keep going, are we going to see that this weekend? Are we going to see that this weekend? Are we, you know, you're like, I know it's there somewhere. I've said it before, maybe his mechanic just needs to give him one mean slap across the helmet before the gate drop happens.
Yeah.
Well, if we could bottle that, you know, that, mindset of riding like after you've fallen in the first turn or something. I mean, because how many times has that happened, you know, to everybody? So let's move on to a Rock and Turf 450 class and have a peek at that. Big night for points, kind of a crazy night, a lot of stuff happening. And, you know, Bruce, start with the heat races. Tell us what you thought there, anything that stood out or grabbed your attention.
Heat race one, Roxon goes down, which ends up putting him into his very first LCQ ever. So congrats on that. and then I think there was a lot of favors for Hunter Lawrence in that race, you know, with Sexton stalling his bike, you know, and Hunter Lawrence takes the win. So congrats on that win for him. Other than that, nothing else really stood out too much to me. I don't know if you guys noticed anything else.
Well, I wanted to say something about Hunter because on the broadcast, Ricky made a comment like, it's been a rough transition to the 450 class for Hunter. And I kind of, my eyebrows went up. I went, no, it hasn't. Like, he's having a great rookie season. Mm-hmm. Several top fives. He just won a heat. Yes, he had a little injury, but he's already back. Like, this is a good rookie season in this kind of field. If you go back and look at Hunter's results, I mean, outside of the mud, he's had a couple of bad ones, but, you know, to be understood with the conditions we've had, if you're comparing him to his brother, it's a rough start.
That's the first problem right there is what you just said. His brother's is a unicorn. So compared to his brother, you might say, yeah, it's just been an okay season. But I agree with you. Besides not qualifying for A1, everything else has been pretty decent and what you would expect. Some few mistakes, like you said, a little injury. But the good thing is he's going forward in the series, not backwards like some other guys.
Yep.
Yeah, and that Anaheim thing, man, that was like he got freezy, you know, like he just had a couple of things go on and
yeah,
it could have happened to anybody.
Especially nowadays with no semis, you know, you got the heat race, you get taken out. Okay, I got another shot, but what if something happens there? You know, and I forget the year, but remember when Villopoto was leading the championship and he didn't qualify either.
Yeah, and they had a rule back then, right? Didn't he use like a provisional or something? They had some weird rule.
He did.
You could sneak in if you were a top 10. I don't know. There's some weird thing.
Yeah, you could like throw away a – yeah. Yep. I remember
that. You get a free ticket to the main event if you were either top 10 in points or there was some criteria. You know, there was a way for them, if that happened to a factory guy, they could still sneak him in. Anyway, all right, so moving on. Good heat races for the Lawrences.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You got something?
Yeah. I was going to say, in the heat two, AP rode really good.
Yeah.
Good. He did. Yeah. He put on a good some good battles with Jet. So that was pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, he kind of ran it in, like poked it on him in one corner, and I thought, oh man, AP's feeling froggy. Like this is gonna be a good night for him. And we didn't really see him.
Well, I also think for AP, I mean, you know, if we peel the layers back, when he sees it muddy, you know, his team, his friends, his family, everyone's like, oh, it's your time to shine. You know, you're the man in these conditions. And you can almost see the way he rides is a little more like, I don't know, excitement or less fear of what might happen. So he did look good. And again, I still thought going in the main event, because, you know, at my shop, we have a fantasy league. And we pick people every week in a wild card. I was like, man, maybe I should have put AP up higher. And I almost got him exactly. But yeah, he shows speed. But I also think sometimes for certain guys, it's about getting into a rhythm. And I kind of felt like in the main event, he just never got that rhythm, never got into like a few laps in a row where there was no one around and where he could pick his lines and do everything. And sometimes I think for riders, when they don't get that flow very early on, it's harder to pick it up later on.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's always tougher to try to collect yourself after, you know, if it's started off poorly, to turn it around. It's tough. I want to say something. See if you guys caught this. Right before the main event, Jet's mechanic handed him a little, looked like AirPods, and he pulled something out and kind of sniffed it and put it back in. And I thought, I've said before in the past, like, you know, as a medic, we use smelling salts all the time to wake people who've passed out.
Yeah.
Wake them up or whatever. But there's now the research is, you know, spotty. Some studies say it helps, because it does. It increases your rate of breathing, which increases blood flow to your brain. There's like a little bit of an epinephrine dump. So if you're trying to, you know, you're on the start of a race and you need good reaction time, you need oxygen to the brain, like all those things firing. I told this to Tyler Keith years ago. I said, you ought to get your guys some smelling salts and have them try it. Just right on the start line, have them take a little hit. It'll, you know, wake them up. And I wonder if that's what that was. The only other thing it could be was maybe he had stuffed sinuses and it was just like some menthol or something.
Well,
but thing I thought it was interesting.
I got a story about that. So
back
when, you know, I was doing the Alias thing, you know, I was going to all the races and I was in the Geico rig one time and I saw Malcolm Stewart. He's like smelling this little stick. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, you don't know what this is. I'm like, no. And so he told me about that. And I'm like, what can that even do anything? And he goes, try it. I go to smell that thing. Wow. That thing just wakes you up. I was like, and he was laughing so hard at me. So, yeah, it just kind of gives you like this boost of like, I mean, have you tried one?
Oh yeah. It's ammonia. It's it'll perk you right up. That's what I'm saying. Right before the card goes up to you know, I've been saying it for a long time. Why don't guys do this?
Yeah.
And I've never seen anyone do it until this Saturday night. I watched him do that. Yeah. Anyway, just thought it was interesting aside. I'll poke around and see if I could find some info on it. But it sure made sense to me.
It obviously has to be legal because, you know, there's.
Yeah. It's just ammonia. It wouldn't be in your system or anything. Well, you know,
I feel like those kind of inhalers, whatever you call them, breathers, little sticks, you know, that's become something in modern years. I remember battling to breathe. I always had sinus and my nose would often close up. I don't know if it was the dust and the fumes and everything, but I would. And I remember once upon a time, Dr. G just put this little, you know, oil or whatever finger and he shoved it up my nostril. And I was on the line and I was like, whoa, I'm like, I can breathe. So I forget what it was. I even said, what was that? He's like, don't worry about it. But it was just some oil with, like you said, all those different stuff to open up your nose, you know,
eucalyptus, menthol, that kind of
stuff. Yeah, exactly. So nothing crazy, but like you said, now that Jet's winning, I'm pretty sure you're going to see a lot of guys sniffing a lot of things online.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, well, it's better than having men stick stuff up their holes in their face. That came off a little quick. Hey, I did catch one other thing while we're talking about the Lawrences, and I thought this was really cool. Did you see how stoked Jet was for Hunter when he won that heat? Like, yeah, just genuinely pumped for his brother. I thought that was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get to the race. It looked like, oh man, we're going to get this battle, right, that we've been wanting, Chase, Cooper, and Jet. I was hoping Eli would get in that mix. And I was thinking, you know, because I think Jet, if I remember right, was back 9th, 10th off the start. He wasn't great. But man, within like a lap, he was up into third. It was wild. The way he worked his way forward. And he was coming on the, like, he was so much faster than those guys. Again, this is another case of like him just being a little impatient. I don't know what he was thinking he was coming in to do there with Cooper, but like either come in hot and take a guy out or back off. Like, I don't know. He ran into his back end and you know, but yeah, of course, high sided. Like, I don't know what else could have happened in that scenario. What did you guys think of that mistake? Was that just impatience? And then I think he was going to catch him again. He was going so much faster. He had that wall down where he was hopping over it. Whoa. And I thought he was coming again until he ran into the back of Brees. And I think he finally just went, all right.
Well, the first thing that started the ping was when he caught Coop and in the sand section and he came in hot on him and hit him. And man, I was pretty impressed that Cooper didn't go down from that. Like, it was like he hit a wall and like Coop didn't even move.
Well, Coop had, like, he was accelerating straight across. That's what I'm saying. The way Jet came in, I'm like, what did you think was going to happen there, bud? Like,
yeah.
It was an odd scenario to me because I just thought you weren't even close enough to come in. You got to at least be even with their handlebars to like really try to make an impact, right? Like, if you're going to hit somebody, and he wasn't even close.
Yeah. And I think just after making those couple mistakes, I don't know if he just kind of, you know, for how sketchy that track was, maybe he was just like, you know, he's comfortable where he's at with points, you know, just played it smart. I don't know. But man, that sand, when he started jumping over that wall through that sand section, which Webb eventually started doing it too, that's where I feel like he made up a lot of time on Sexton. That was just so impressive watching him. Just it's just so amazing the lines that kid comes up with.
Well, and even watching the difference when Cooper did it, it didn't look pretty, right? He was kind of smashing through it.
Yeah.
Where when Jet did it, it was like effortless looking. You know, just barely, and he just barely kind of, it looked like he just skipped off across the top of it and kept going. GL, what did you think of kind of that whole scenario? And
no, I agree with you. I think with Jet, let's take a page out of Ricky's book. He uses those long legs in that situation to, one, help him kind of bunny hop, and two, really absorb it. Cooper's a smaller, compact guy. he did it. I almost feel like I can relate to him by, it wasn't that pretty, but it was a little bit faster than not. So I get it. And then as far as Jet kind of running into him, I think he was being aggressive, knowing like it's mud. I got to get to the front, clear vision, run my lines. And I think he thought he had a bit of a chance there, but Cooper's so, so crafty. It's almost like he has eyes in the back of his head. And he just is able to put the bike so, you know, in a position. So I think Jet thought he may have had a small chance, and Cooper basically said, no, you don't. And then after that, but back it up a little bit. If anyone's talking, you know, from his team to his agencies or, you know, dad, whoever, you know, a lot of people are saying, hey, the guy you probably need to worry about moving forward is Cooper Webb, because of how tactical he is and how crafty and how just mentally strong. And even when he's not the fastest guy, he'll still find a way to be on the top step. So I don't know if, and again, let's not forget, Jet Lawrence is still a kid. He rides with a lot of maturity, but like when you see some of those things on the weekend, you're like, okay, that was a kid that had the mindset of, I need to get to the front ASAP, clear track, win this race, extend the points lead. Well, it doesn't always go according to plan. And then you get a couple of roadblocks, I'll call him Cooper Webb, that are just so stubborn, and they just know how to indirectly kind of derail his charge forward.
Yeah, I agree with you. And we saw a pretty good race between Chase Sexton and Cooper, sort of while Jet was having all his incidents. And I saw some really weird stuff out of Chase that I know the track was crazy, but the stall early on in the night, and then he had a couple moments where it looked like he almost stalled again. And did you guys see him land on the tough blocks too? He almost
went down
in a pile.
Yeah.
And he said that he bent his shift lever, his brake pedal out a little bit, and maybe that was what I saw. But I just saw a couple of little hiccups from him that I thought were odd. Though I will say, I think it's one of his best performances to date. Mm-hmm. Even though he didn't get the win, he rode really well and he fought for it. What was your, GL, we'll start with you. What was your take on Chase's night?
To me, again, I think it's another one of those. He's had a couple good mud results this year, and I think he came in thinking, I need to get my championship hopes back on track by winning tonight. He rode like he was really, really there to win. As far as the stall goes, I kind of feel like, and I might be way off base on this one, but I think the way he hooked on that jump, sometimes freak things happen, and you saw the bike didn't want to fire up. And I don't want to say that that's happened to KTM before, but I've seen it with Dungy and other people, and even myself included. I don't know what happens, but I believe the stall was maybe his fault initially, but the fact that it wouldn't fire up, that's happened before on those bikes, you know, over many years. Kind of weird. I think maybe with the wheel turning, so it's, you got the clutch in, but I don't know if it's because there's some things turning or whatever, and you're in gear, they don't want to engage and fire up sometimes. And you could see how frustrating it was. But besides that, like you said, he rode well, he rode aggressive, he rode like someone that's really here to defend his title. And again, it's a bit of a mud race. Everyone made mistakes. People had good laps, bad laps. And at the end of the day, still a good result. You know, at the end of the day, he made a couple points on the championship leader. So got to take the little victory sometimes.
For sure. There was one thing I saw that, I don't know this for sure, but I don't. Did you notice how much throttle he was giving it when he was trying to start it? Pay attention to his right hand. As he was pushing the button, you just see his right hand dropping. Like he thought it was already fired and he was trying to go.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. And I wonder if that had something to do with it. You know, it was just squirting too much fuel as he was pushing the start button. So either way, odd and kind of a bummer for him. But I hope he continues to build.
They happen in panic situations. You know, like you could start your bike off the stand in the pits 100 out of 100. And then in the race, the one time or the other time you need it and you're like, what the heck? But like you said, probably a combination of several things, rolling forward, clutching in, maybe it even bumped it up a gear when he hit the wall and he was in third or, you know, something else. I think you can add a lot of factors in, but I'm sure they'll look at it. You know, he looked a little frustrated at the end of the race, and I get it, because there's probably a handful of guys that felt like they should have won last night, you know?
Yeah.
That's the reality. Yeah. The series is so close. It's really fun to watch because you just don't know who's going to win. And the minute you think, okay, Jets had three in a row, well, you know, he's the guy. You know, he shows he kind of is the guy, but there's other guys. So,
right.
Yeah, he's letting them in. Bruce, take us through the rest of the top 10 quickly.
Yeah, so Webb with the win, Chase Sexton second, Jet Lawrence with third, Aaron Plessinger fourth, Ken Roczen fifth, Eli Tomac sixth, Hunter Lawrence seventh, Justin Cooper eighth, Justin Barcia ninth, and then Jason Anderson wrapping up the top 10 there.
So not a ton of surprises. Still a good ride for AP, and that was to be expected the way he rode in the heat. What is Cooper sitting back now in the title? Chase,
yeah, 11? So no, he's 16 points down.
16 points,
and
all right,
and Sexton's 23, so he's starting to get away. So this is starting to become the Cooper Webb and Lawrence championship battle now, I feel. But here's the thing, how this series gone. I mean, we've got a triple crown coming up for this next round. I mean, gosh, you never know what can happen.
It could go a lot of ways. Well. We're going to keep an eye on it. GL, I appreciate you taking the time. We got to end this here, try to keep it inside our time limit, but we sure appreciate you taking the time. And
anytime.
If you had to pick a title winner, who you got? I mean, is it Jed at this point?
Oh, Ping. That's a deep question right there. 1 week ago, I might have said, yeah, but now I'm going.
Coop's keeping it interesting.
I'm going to go.
Yeah, he is.
I'm going to say Cooper Webb is going to win it on the mental battle, not the pure speed battle.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm.
I like that, GL. Right. I like that.
What do you got, Bruce?
Man, it's after seeing this last weekend, I mean, I'm kind of with GL on that. I really am. I mean, I think Jet's definitely the fastest, but I think coming down to this, I mean, Cooper Webb's just mentally so strong, and he's going to be the most creative to make this thing happen.
Well, he's going to keep it interesting. I want to quickly thank our sponsors one more time, Rock and Turf, Maxis, and Speedstrap. We appreciate their support. Thank you guys for listening. Join us Thursday when we drop Sight Lap and we take a look ahead to next weekend. The series is anything but over. A lot of fun. Thanks for watching. We'll see you guys next week.